Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS Capital City Recap. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, it is Memorial Day weekend and a beautiful one. It's going to be incredibly hot, up in the mid-90s. So far, so good. From what I can tell, the traffic appears to be moving fairly well, unless you're on 23 North, but even there is some motion. On today's program, we're going to talk about some areas in Michigan that you will want to check out this summer, some of you may not know about. And also we'll discuss this idea of the UP seceding from the Lower Peninsula, forming a state of its own. It's been discussed for, well, over a century, but it came up recently, and we'll get some of the details on that. But first, State Budget Director John Nixon calling this week's budget agreement a real balanced approach. It includes pre-funding medical costs in the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System, a cut for individual income taxes, and more money for K through 12. So could the 2012-2013 budget make those protesting last year's cuts in taxes forget and reshape how opponents view state Republicans? To talk about it, I'm joined by three-term Democratic State Representative Richard LeBlanc of Westland. Richard, thank you so much for joining us here on 1320 WILS.
Michael, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me, where are you spending your Memorial Day weekend?
Well, right now I am at Houghton Lake. We have a house on the South Shore, and it's just beautiful out here.
I see. Well, it sounds like you beat the traffic to get there.
I did, yes. We came out very late last night, arrived early morning, and did beat the traffic.
So tell me, from what you've read about the way the surplus is being dispersed in this new budget, would you at least agree that it is a balanced approach? Is that a fairly good word to describe it?
Well, it's certainly balanced, but it's balanced on the backs of residents, and in particular seniors and school districts. But yes, it is balanced.
Well, I mean, let's begin with this $130 million to pre-fund medical costs in the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System. That's likely to win Republicans some election year points, don't you think? Is that something yourself would have to support?
Well, let's talk about for a moment the method by which we get to support the budget. You know, in years past, my first 4 years in the House, we voted on individual budgets. We voted on them one by one. And last year and this year, the options are not the same. In fact, it'll be an omnibus budget. And essentially what that means is that there's going to be one vote regarding schools, and then there's another vote regarding everything else. And it is one of the items that I had a conversation with Budget Director Nixon on multiple occasions, asking for consideration regarding individual budgets, and that omnibus budgets were just too difficult to support. So regarding supporting the budget itself, I'd say that at this point it's unlikely that I'll find myself supporting them. Certainly there are individual parts of it that are appealing, but there's far more that's not so appealing.
This omnibus approach, is this something that's been done in the past?
Yes, it has been done in the past. It's not been done in the recent past, but yes, this will certainly not be the first or second or even third time that it's happened in our state.
It's interesting, but in a sense, I guess the assumption is that the votes are going to be there to pass it no matter what.
Right.
Now, what has the process been like then for Democrats in this last year? I know last year there was kind of a tone set. How would you describe the budget process since the Republicans took majorities in both houses and Governor Snyder was elected?
Well, I'd say that it has been very considerate with a major exception. And that exception being that Democrats have not been allowed to, on an at-large basis, to inject things that they might believe are important to include in a budget. And when I say considerate, I mean that the process itself has been very good with that exception. So, for example, right now, I don't know if they're concluded or not, but it's likely that conference committees have met and they've made decisions. And members of the Democratic caucus in both the House and the Senate were not invited to those conference committees. And so decisions, final decisions, will have been made in those conference committees. And then invited into the room will be members of the minority party as well as the majority party, and they'll take a vote on the conference committee. And it's a little difficult when, just to use one example, we receive a bill at 10:30 p.m. on a Wednesday evening, and we're asked to vote on it at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. The conference committee, in my opinion, is likely to be similar. We will receive a copy of the conference committee literally at the meeting and be asked to vote on it within 15 minutes.
If your input, though, is not being really seriously considered, how is this a considerate process?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I'll say that although decisions will have been made, where I'm saying it's considered is that Democrats and others, quite frankly, are allowed to ask questions, are allowed to make comment. And, you know, that hasn't always been the case. There were times in 2005 and 2006 where it was exceptionally partisan, and it was also very disciplined regarding who could talk and when. So, you know, on the surface, it looks very, very friendly. And I've made comments to the governor. I've made comments to the speaker and to the others that, you know, it has been okay in that regard. The difficulty is that we have not had a real opportunity to inject ideas, to have things become implemented as a part of the negotiation process, because to be very blunt, there has been no negotiation. In fact, almost zero.
That is quite interesting. I'm talking to Democratic State Representative Richard LeBlanc of Westland. So I want to ask you that when you see a budget like this, there's going to be potentially a $90 million cut from individual income taxes. There's going to be $60 million for home heating assistance. Why does that make you laugh?
Well, because the $90 million cut in real dollars means about $23 to $25 per year per taxpayer. And I mean, if we're gonna talk about a tax cut the way it should have been applied, if the state income tax had been allowed to run its course from 2007 on, we would already have returned more than that. And eventually, of course, over the next few years, the tax rate would have decreased to 3.9%. And the proposal that we see now only gets it to where it should have been at the beginning of this year anyway.
What do you think, though, about the way a budget like this can very much rewrite this political narrative the Democrats have wanted to paint when it comes to Republicans, the fact that they've been cutting programs, taxing the seniors, and now we have a surplus, and we have Republicans very clearly distributing the money to all kinds of popular programs, including increasing K-12 funding by $180 million.
Well, I'll say that the surplus, if we're going to refer to it like that, as, you know, just a surplus, it's driven by a couple of things, and most predominantly light vehicle sales. And, you know, President Obama continued what was started before his tenure and allowed for the auto companies to receive consideration, and that had an impact that is now being realized. I mean, quite frankly, this is not my comment, it's expert comment. Light vehicle sales are driving an increase in tax revenue. And so the other half of that, of course, is that part of the reason that the budget can become balanced and that there is a surplus identified is because of the pension tax that was implemented on seniors, because of the K-12 fund that was raided so that it could be applied to other areas. And when everything is said and done, taxes to residents increased $1.4 billion, and corporations and limited liability companies, other businesses, received a tax decrease of $1.6 billion. So, I mean, it's.
But how do you politically, though? Obviously, this is an election year for the right. House. When you look at these, especially we have some of these one-time investments. This additional $10 million in addition to $130 million already targeted to the state rainy day fund. But specifically, the one-time investments they include the $60 million for home heating assistance and so on, an extra $110 million to roads and transportation. Now, wouldn't you say very clearly this will have a strong political impact and will sway voters who may have been unsure or maybe opposed to the Republican agenda the other way?
I'm not as convinced. In fact, I think the opposite is true. As people have been receiving their tax information this year, they've realized exactly what they've paid, and it's a heck of a lot of money. And we're not done yet because the full implementation of the tax code changes have not been realized. People are going to be losing homestead credit. People are going to be losing deductions for colleges, universities, and other things that are important to them, and they've not seen that yet. Now, it's true that they're not going to see that by Election Day, but all you have to do is look at what's happened this year. And so I'm not convinced necessarily that people will feel good about, you know, having an average of $700 or $800 for the average earner taken out of their pocket and then getting pennies back and seeing a little bit go to areas that they should have gone to in the first place. And when you mention, you know, the road funding, I have to admit that I'm a bit more cynical regarding that. You know, there's been a proposal that's been offered by Democrats and Republicans. Actually, two of the main sponsors are now both Republicans, but at one time it was Democrat and Republican, and the governor had weighed in and wanted some interest to be applied there. And So, you know, we're going to be shifting general fund money to transportation to only stave off a real difficult political decision.
Well, tell me one thing. If Democrats miraculously were able to get the majority in both houses and get the Democratic governor in place, would the agenda be to reverse what Republicans have done to reinstate business taxes and get rid of the taxes that were put on pensions and so on?
Well, first, pardon me, my colleagues may not like that I say this, but that's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen in this election because, you know, it's a different cycle. It's the mid cycle. But no, I certainly don't think that'll happen because I think that you could look at a person like me who I admit is not the typical Democrat, but, you know, being moderate, I say, others call me conservative. I don't subscribe to the let's tax the heck out of them and spend all the money. In fact,
well, essentially, should we be moving ahead with what we have now? I mean, tough decisions were made last year. That's how Republicans describe it. Is it time to kind of move forward with what we have and not necessarily look to reinstate what the system that was previously there and obviously the deficit that we dealt with then, too?
Well, I don't want to reinstate what was there, but I will say this. The tax plan that was adopted last year was the third business tax plan in 5 years. That's anything but stable. It's very unstable. And in my opinion, it was too soon to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Having said that, there is a plan in place. I think it does need to be modified. The example that I use are those limited liability companies that are not paying any business tax, yet they still use services that are provided by government. One of the ones I like to point to because it's easy in our state, all automotive dealerships, for example, in the state of Michigan are limited liability companies. And while they certainly pay their share of other taxes, they're not paying business tax. Yet, because business taxes were utilized in certain ways and in certain instances funneled back into other forms of government, those taxes not being paid is showing in our community.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's not a secret that, I'm sorry.
Oh, bottom line, though, Democrats, what your sense is, Democrats will vote against this budget when it comes up.
My sense is that Democrats likely will. I have 9 Democratic vice chairs under me. You know, we speak often, and there's not a level of comfort with a budget that they've not been allowed to have a greater level or, quite frankly, any measurable level of involvement in. So it's not just to vote no because they're a Democrat. It's to vote against, in my opinion, it's to vote against because they've not been able to have influence regarding the decisions that are being made.
One last thing. You know, Mark Brewer on the program here said that he actually can foresee the Republican majority in the House flipping this year. Realistically, would you say that could really happen?
The way that I'll answer it is that if you look at 48% Democratic seats, none of them were lost in the tsunami that hit against Democrats a year and a half ago. I would say that it's very reasonable to expect that the Democrats will have between 56 and 59 seats in November.
Well, it will be interesting to see. Democratic State Representative Richard LeBlanc of Westland. Richard, thank you for joining us, and have a good Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, Michael. I wish the same to you and your listeners.
And we will be right back to talk about the fact that Americans are taking much less vacation now. Why is that? And where are they going when they take vacations? That's next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.